Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We have a Thursday trade edition. Anthony Carrente here. I was on his pod last week, Dynasty Drives. So go ahead and check that out. Or 2 weeks ago now, sometime earlier this month. It's been a 9,466 day month. So Anthony, thanks for joining us. So let's talk some different player values in terms of guys who have changed teams. And I was particularly excited today because I saw Mike Clay issued his first set of ESPN issued his first set of projections, and he goes through, it's a big, like 66 page PDF. It's like a nerd junkies, like March fantasy. And so the first person I flipped to is Juju Smith-Schuster, because I wanted to see sort of what he projected for targets and a thing. So I'm fascinated by his valuation right now. So let's just start with Juju Smith-Schuster for a 2023 second. What's your thoughts? These are all super flex trades, by the way.
Juju Smith-Schuster for a 2023 second. Any random 2023 second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll take Juju.
Okay.
I think Juju, I don't know. I think he's kind of been unfairly left for dead the last couple seasons based on pretty horrific quarterback play. And I know that, honestly, I was probably more excited across from Tyreek than post Tyreek. But I still think at least we haven't seen him be the guy that excelled once he got all the volume and the first guy left, like when Antonio Brown left Pittsburgh. But that also wasn't with Patrick Mahomes. So that matters right a little bit more for me now. So I'll take Juju.
Right. There's this question out there that fascinates me and I sort of understand I understand the premise of it. That is Juju Smith-Schuster that good? My retort and the one aspect of this is like, hey, you know, they had great weapons and he basically was, you know, essentially, you know, the other guy in what was an offense that basically tilted heavily towards AB and opened up all the spot for him, you know, and he does a lot of slot stuff and he's got limitations. He's not a true alpha one, yada, yada, yada. I guess my retort to that would be like, he was good at 17 years old in a Power 5 conference, right? I mean, yeah. Like sometimes we can do this to ourselves and be like, well, is Juju really even that good? It'd be like, yeah, like he is, right? I mean, like his limitation was like the reason he went in the second round was because he wasn't an elite athlete, but it had nothing to do with any other part about his resume, but for basically that, which is, you know, it's been basically a tough 24 months for him. And I think we sort of, like you said, I think he's been left for dead. It's fascinating because this one, there's some other ones in here we'll talk about, but this one feels like pure upside. Like there's minimal risk in doing this. You're getting attached to Mahomes. And if it goes right, can go really right. So, yeah. And I love those types of bets. All right. Some more complicated ones in two PPR. Juju Smith-Schuster and Irv Smith for 102. Again, this is super flex. So you're looking at one of the top couple of rookies in this class, depending on how you order it.
Yeah, I'll take the 102 in that one. 102 is hard for me to pass up, especially in super flex, because even though I'm not the world's biggest Malik Willis guy in super flex, I totally understand him as a top two pick.
Mm-hmm.
I love Garrett Wilson too, though. Like I'd probably take Garrett Wilson straight up over Juju.
Okay.
So that'd be my next highest guy top two in those order, like whether the quarterback need or you just want the value or not. But yeah, Garrett Wilson would be my second guy and I would take him straight up over Juju Smith-Schuster.
So you would take Garrett Wilson as he would be your second after Breece Hall in terms of like actual rookies. So we'll just set quarterbacks aside for a second. He would be your second non-quarterback rookie. Is that right?
He would be, if we're going just strictly how I have it graded,
yeah,
he would be my first non-quarterback rookie.
He would be ahead of Hall. Okay.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Okay. So I have an admission that I have to make and my subscribers know this, but I am notoriously late to the rookie party.
Okay.
Because I tend to devalue, as we've gone along in the AOD journey, I've devalued rookies more and more in my process. So I indicate that with the disdain of which I treat March and April. So, it's been a little bit of a gag. So we're getting through. We're through the running backs, and quarterbacks will end up going last. And then we'll, you know, there fortunately there doesn't tend to be a ton of tight ends. But then we just sort of batch, you know, I just go through a whole batch of rookies in basically the month of late March and early April, basically the entirety of April. I say that for the purposes of this. Where does the market view Garrett Wilson? Like in terms of like whether it's rookie drafts, like whether it's mocks, whether it's, you know, I just haven't studied the wide receivers in any sort of depth. So I don't know where the market is actually feeling on these guys in terms of the ordering of them. I know the general consensus of sort of how the class is treated, but not the specific order of them. Are you alone in Garrett Wilson being that high, or is it?
I don't think I'm alone. I think it's has swung back this way, like in the last like 3-4 weeks, especially because pre-combine there was like that groundswell of, you know, Treylon Burks is the 101 or Treylon Burks is the best player outside of any quarterback need, you know, setting quarterback aside again.
Sure.
And then I think people probably overreacted to the combine a little bit, like Treylon Burks. Yeah, no, never. but honestly, like what Treylon Burks did at the combine didn't really change a whole lot for me. That being said, I think I was a little bit lower than consensus at that point. So they've kind of, I think, both found the level. Like I had Garrett Wilson higher than those guys to begin with, but the top four guys, I think, are all graded so close that it's almost like, you know, pick your flavor and to take what you like. But I think it's started to kind of shift back now to Garrett Wilson as like a top two option at wide receiver.
Okay. All right. Fair. And I love it because there's a big grouping of it. So it kind of ends up becoming like, I don't know if I can really pick the order of these guys. I'll just take wide receiver 5. Like it ends up being like a very much of that. So that's
we joked with somebody else that it's almost a year where like, I guess take the top like 4 or 5 picks. Like you said, it's almost I'd kind of rather someone have the 101 this year.
Yeah.
Like, and just make that decision for me where I can kind of settle in on my own.
Right. Yeah. And if Hall's a first rounder, I mean, I treat it like very, very differently.
Yes.
Whereas like, but if you're going to get like a batch of, you know, if he's a second rounder, like, you know, that's probably weighted ahead of the receivers for a variety of reasons. But anyways, you sort of go from there and you're like, all right, once you start just looking at the receivers, you're like, all right, there's going to be 5.5, I think is the line that I most recently saw of receivers in the first round. Like if that's going to be the number, like this is going to be a great class. Cause I'm going to be able to trade down. Someone's going to probably want it. You know, this is exciting. Cause this is a class that I can exploit. So, cause I just, I won't even end up caring. So it'll be interesting to see the ordering of these is more the bigger point. All right. So we've got the two extremes on Juju. Let's set out a little bit of a middle ground here. Juju and Drew Lock at a 2023 third for a 2023 first. Again, this is super flex. These are all super flex.
That one. Okay. Drew Lock. This might be harsh, but like, I don't really care.
Okay.
Fair. Fine in the short term, I guess, if you're super desperate and super flex, but even still, like, I would rather be planning for life after Drew Lock than relying on Drew Lock. So I almost look at it like Juju and the third for a 2023 first. And I would take the 2023 first just based on the expectation that 2023 looks even better than 2022. And I think 2022's draft class got knocked a little unfairly for a while, like because it wasn't 2023, we should get a good group next year. And I like Juju a lot, but I'll take the 2023 one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that primarily because I think Juju is, not replaceable is probably not the right word, but you can replicate what he can do, in a variety of different ways that'll probably cost you less than the first, you know, and it's one of those things like if Juju's wide receiver 14 through 10 weeks and it's the trade deadline, I probably still don't have to pay more than that 2023 first for him, right? Like if I want to make that bet, I can make that bet probably at a cost that's not much more than this, which is kind of, you know, and then you kind of know, and you've taken some of the risk out of it. So I think it's the whole Juju at this point is basically all the risk. And I think they'll probably draft someone too, but even that I'm not super, super concerned about. Again, I like Juju. I don't think that this is one that necessarily gets away from you if you don't do it right now. All right. So then now we've got you mentioned him before. And this is, actually let's do one more Juju one, because I think this is interesting. So we've basically done sort of all of them. Well, let's use them as a pivot piece. So Juju Smith-Schuster, Kirk Cousins in 203 for Stafford and Tyler Boyd. And I view this one as like you're kind of moving up the quarterback pecking order. And how does Juju the pick and Tyler Boyd sort of fit together and all that?
This one, I will take the Juju side.
Okay.
I'll take Juju, Kirk Cousins, and the 203 for Stafford. I'll take that side over Stafford and Boyd.
Okay. All right. Are you a Cousins guy?
I think like by default, like I don't want to like champion that flag. Like he's not my guy or anything, but I think he's way more valuable in Superflex than he gets credit for. Like he gets lumped in with these or drafted like this guy, like a back end quarterback too, for the last couple of years. And every year it's, you know, fringe quarterback one numbers. It feels like attached to a guy like Jefferson, like it's not going to feel great to pivot from Matt Stafford to Kirk Cousins, but I'll take the pick and Juju over Tyler Boyd, who I think is fine. Like, I don't think Tyler Boyd's bad or anything. I think he's a great, you know, fit for that offense and fits in nicely with Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. But for the difference between him and Juju, I would probably take Juju anyway. So throw in the pick on top. And yeah, that's the sweetener I need.
Interesting. Cause I find Stafford to be, of all the people that I have on my fantasy teams, I find Stafford to be the hardest one to trade or to involve in a trade, because I am as high as you could possibly be on him. And this is even worse because I like Juju a lot and I like Cousins a lot. So this trade's like pulling teeth for me, because you're like, oh, okay, I'm trading basically between all my guys. I just look at Stafford and I was like, the floor is so high. And I don't know, like I actually did this the other day. I looked through a list of guys that you just looked at like the top 12 quarterbacks from last year. And you look at the guys who basically have their situation, who basically didn't lose a, you know, like they're one of their two best weapons. And Stafford actually did, but I think replaced him with an equal talent in Robinson. Or lost like a play caller. So it was like, or had a change in play caller. Right. And it's a very small list. Like it was Stafford, you know, assuming we count Stafford, it was like Stafford and like two or three other guys. And that just sort of, and on top of the fact that, you know, we see the proof of concept, we see a top six finish, we see all these things with the Rams. And it's like, I don't know how, like if there's like six guys that I trust more than Stafford and Superflex, I don't think the number's bigger than that. And like, I know that might sound crazy to maybe people that are going to listen to this, that don't subscribe to AOD, but like I have him in literally a group of Supermax guys with Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Dak, Deshaun, and Stafford. It's those six. And then it's a tier break in terms of both security, in terms of both all of the stuff. Like the resume on Stafford is like such high floor and high ceiling at this point. Like it's tough. I like Cousins, right? So like I'm talking myself through all these things. I was like, yeah, Cousins is undervalued, like so is Juju, and we're trading him for like my like quarterback six or seven. Like, okay, like I'm in such like it pains me. But I think viewing Stafford, like I get what you're saying. I think you have a closer gap on Stafford and Cousins than I do. So I would go I would view this as an okay price to pay, an acceptable price to pay, probably because the difference between Boyd and Schuster is probably not that huge. So it ends up becoming a non-core piece that you're trading for Cousins to Stafford. So that would sort of be my calculus on it, but I don't disagree with the Cousins love. Like I need to sort of do a diatribe on the Cousins love, because like I agree with you.
And I like Stafford a lot too. Yeah. Like I totally agree with what you're saying. I think that the gap between them is probably, like you said, closer for me, but I don't think the gap from where you have Stafford or where I would have Stafford is really all that big either. It's just like a weird kind of almost middle ground. Like, yeah. He's just a little bit further down for me.
Yeah. And I think on the flip side of, like, if I were to sort of self critique, I will basically do the big pay for, to move up at quarterback. Right. Yeah. So like, I'll do a big kind of move up at quarterback. Like, that's worth something to me.
For sure.
But by way of the market, this is interesting. By way of the market right now, the last month, Stafford going with a median of 303 at quarterback 12. And according to our startup draft tracker, Cousins is going at 601 at quarterback 19. So there is a gap that has opened up a bit there between the two of those guys. And again, I would have them both higher. And I would have Stafford, like, Stafford's going behind Justin Fields. He's going behind Trevor Lawrence. He's actually going behind Russell Wilson, which is interesting. He's going behind Trey Lance. And then you get into the Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, Kyler, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow range of the position. So interesting, still a gap and still plenty of value to get for both of those guys. And honestly, if that ended up being quarterback one and two, it's not how I would set out to do it in a startup draft, but it's not the worst outcome either. All right. So let's see. So, all right. So I asked you to come on here, not for me to talk, but for me to ask you questions. So here we go. 16 minutes in, we got 14 to go. All right. So Tyreek Hill, another one that's, you know, he was linked to Juju. We have him for Darnell Mooney in 212. That was the most recent trade.
I think this one is like the hardest one for me so far. Cause I want it like, I love both sides of it, honestly. Like,
I really do.
I think it's really dependent on like the context. I'll take the Tyreek Hill side because he's still the highest asset I would have ranked in the deal, like by a pretty sizable margin.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love Darnell Mooney. Okay. And I'm probably a little biased towards that. The 212, like if the 212 was like the 203, the 204, I'd really have to think about it longer.
Interesting. So what's like a best case scenario for it? Because this is the beauty of these trades, because I'll just throw people on here and have no idea like what we're going to sort of delve into. It's like, oh, we're going to talk Darnell Mooney. We're going to do this on Darnell Mooney. What's the Darnell Mooney, like what's the best case scenario for Darnell Mooney?
So I don't think the best case scenario for Darnell Mooney is Tyreek Hill, obviously. Like, I don't think the ceiling's that crazy. And that's what kind of like dampers that side of the deal for me. Cause I think the ceiling for him is like high end wide receiver too, like both in terms of the NFL and fantasy projection. Like, I think that would be his ceiling for me. I don't see it being like, you know, we're ranking Darnell Mooney as a top 12 guy next year, just especially based on the other people at the position, right? Like, it's just, doesn't seems unlikely. But if it was an earlier second round pick where I could get a guy this year that I feel really good about and has that potential to be like a legit one, like a guy like George Pickens or Chris Olave, like depending on who falls in your draft and how quarterback shakes out, that would make it more appealing. But for now, Tyreek, even with the trade and Tua, who I still believe in as well. So
okay. All right. Fair. So let's do this one. Let's see where this one falls. So we got Tyreek, we got Wentz, we've got 308, and then we've got Waddle, Carr, and 205. And I think this one was actually after the trade, which maybe I should go back and look at the calendar on that. But I'm interested in your thoughts on this one.
This one's tough too, but I'll take the Waddle, Carr, 205 side.
So what's your take on Waddle versus Carr? Waddle versus Tyreek?
I'm going to have them so close in rankings now, I feel like. I haven't, just in full disclosure, I haven't really had a chance to tweak a bunch of stuff post-free agency and post-trades and everything like that.
But I mean, it was such a quiet period of time. How did you not?
Where I had them pre-Hill getting traded was Tyreek Hill as wide receiver 4 and Jalen Waddle as wide receiver 10.
Okay.
So I think that gap is closer than it was, because I think Tyreek comes down a little bit for me. But I really love Jalen Waddle, and I like Carr more than Carson Wentz. And obviously that's like the 205 or the 308. So
right.
Just the gap between Tyreek and Waddle being as narrow as it is, I'll take the upgrade with the other two.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, it's funny, you look at these trades and it's like patterns, and you're like, all right, can I really pick with like a ton of confidence between these wide receivers? And I'm like, yeah, Probably not, but I darn sure can at the quarterback position, and I darn sure can at the rookie pick. So let's just go that way. We have a lot of leeway to miss on the wide receivers and still not sink ourselves. So I like the construct of that one. All right, Brady comes back, and you could have done a lot of things for Brady along the way. I think, you know, and we've saw people do thirds and the like, and get him and get a profit. I just hope he didn't cut him. Brady for Matt Ryan straight up. This is post Matt Ryan to the Colts, by the way.
Post Matt Ryan to the Colts.
Yep.
Post Brady retirement.
Post Brady retirement and activation.
Yeah.
Peyton had this amazing quote that was like, you know, I wrote him this letter, and with all the thing, all these nice things to say about him after he retired, and I want the damn letter back and the bottle of wine. And I was like, yes.
Fantastic. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
I love like these questions in general, because I always think of it like, oh, am I buying or am I selling?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because if I'm playing to win this year and I'm buying Tom Brady, I'll probably buy him for Matt Ryan, because I think the seal, like I would trade Matt Ryan for Tom Brady. So I'll take the Tom Brady side, but I feel like Brady's hard because it's total team construct. It's not like you can't play the long game with how many years of Brady am I getting at this point?
Sure.
But last year, like coming into last year, a similar thing happened where Tom Brady in startups was getting drafted, like, you know, quarterback 20 or something like that. It was like quarterback 19, quarterback 20. And I totally understand, like, how long will you get Tom Brady for? But last year, my thought was, well, even if it's 2 years, right? Like, even if you get 2 years of Tom Brady, there hasn't really been a decline. So let's do it. This year, it's still like, well, even if it's only this year, I feel pretty good that it's going to be near great, you know, if not great. So I'll take the Brady side. But I like Matt Ryan and Indy too.
Yeah, no. I'm with you on that. Let's test how much we like Brady, because I think this one's interesting in terms of exactly what you said, because it's aligning your resources. Brady and Zeke for 203 this year and a 2023 first.
And again, these are all super flex. Probably the picks.
So I have a rule. This is my general rule of thumb. I believe it. And this is the one that makes it hard, because if you're not getting a top 30 asset, you shouldn't do a future first. On the flip side of that, I say, okay, like if I know better, which is like, all right, if I know that I've got a good team, right, and I'm sort of a quarterback upgrade away, I know Zeke's going to probably smash the value with 203. And then all of a sudden I'm not really paying a first, I'm paying something less than a, right? It's not really a first. I'm paying, you know, I'm actually getting more vet, you know, yada, yada, yada. But man, like this could go real, like if you have to be really careful doing this. And again, we go back to what we thought about before, which is like, all right, is there a period of time between now and when you need Brady for a stretch run where A, the risk of you falling out of contention is reduced, and maybe the risk of Brady looking like, you know, final season Peyton Manning is gone too. And you say, okay, with a little bit more confidence, that pick's not going to be 104. It's going to be, you know, 108 or later, right? Like you sort of know those things. I wonder if I guess the flip side of that, and the thing you always have to be concerned with, is, well, does that mean that that person will be contending with Brady? I think my retort to that would be, well, can you use the first for something cheaper along the way than if you have it? You know what I mean? I think that you just foreclose a whole bunch of doors and have to fight through one single fire, you know, through this escape route, if you will, with this deal. But yeah, I'm sort of, it would violate all of my pick rules for that, for sure. All right, couple more. So Amari Cooper is one that's fascinated me, because I got laughed at for wanting a first for him. I still haven't really been able to pull a first for him post Watson deal. I think I probably could try a little bit harder, but I was literally laughed at after he got traded before the Watson stuff. So I'm interested in sort of your thoughts here. Amari Cooper for a 2023 second, excuse me, Amari Cooper for two 2023 seconds and a 2023 third.
The 2 seconds makes it interesting.
Yep.
But I think that, I'll be honest, I think I'll take Amari Cooper because I think I would want a first to deal Amari Cooper. I don't think I would. Two 2023 seconds makes it exciting. Like,
right,
that gets you to think about it. Like, it gets me in the door. But the, it would close if it was, you know, maybe even a first and a third.
But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would want a first. So I'll take the Cooper side.
I'm with you. So I looked up at the, I wanted to check the, you know, Mike Calais is one of the people I trust about, you know, about projections and the sort of thing, especially this early on. I just wanted to take a peek and see what he had at in terms of team passing attempts for Cleveland, because you look back last year, they ranked, where were they? 26 in terms of dropbacks per game. So pretty, you know, on the run heavy side, the sort of slow pacing side as well. They dropped back to pass 597 times. And I'm trying to see the exact attempts. They threw it 520 times. So Mike Clay actually projected them for 534. So that's, again, still a big cap on any upside for Cooper. So I do think, like, it has helped his value that Watson's going there. You know, Mike actually projects some fair amount of skepticism in terms of how many games he'll play in his number. And maybe that would change if Watson plays the whole season or something like that. But I do think this is still probably a cap ceiling situation. It'd be interesting to see where it goes. Cooper and Van Jefferson for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
This one, I'll still take Cooper, but I love Amon-Ra.
Like, can you get a first more easily for Amon-Ra St. Brown than Amari Cooper?
I bet.
Because I got a first for Amon-Ra St. Brown and I can't get one for Cooper. And I think they're probably close enough, but it's the people that would pay future first for things that would be more apt to pay them for Amon-Ra St. Brown than they would Amari Cooper. Right.
I totally agree.
It's just it's a weird situation. You know, they're paying for that, you know, the same, I don't know, the youth, I guess. Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver 22 in our most recent month worth of drafts, and Amari Cooper, wide receiver 30, going about a little bit over a round and a half or so apart in drafts. So
that is disrespectful to Amari Cooper. Yeah, people hate Amari Cooper so much?
it's always been a thing, man. It's just always
forever.
Always
people been are just thing. Bored with Amari Cooper.
Well, this is the same thing. Like, people made him super, super expensive. He's on this. Yeah. CeeDee Lamb's on the exact same track. And by the way, we've got 2 minutes left, so we're okay, hustling here. Right. No, but he's on the same track as CeeDee Lamb was, which was people vaulted him up too soon. And then he sort of balanced out as a wide receiver too. And then everyone sort of faded him because he's a wide receiver too, right? That, I mean, he's the end arc of that, right? DJ Moore, like these same guys are out, Brandon Cooks, like they, you know, who's the best at that, but all right. Cooper and Evans for Rondale Moore in a 2023 first.
Cooper and Evans.
Yeah, I'm with you. Even though the pick, it kind of violates my pick rule.
The pick is nice, but Cooper and Evans, I think you're getting fringe top 12 value in the short term out of both of them, I think.
I'm with you. Carr in 205 for Ryan Tannehill, Amari Cooper in 108. This is all over the place in terms of valuations of players.
All right, wait, one more time. What was that one?
Derek Carr, 205 for Ryan Tannehill, Amari Cooper in 108.
I think the Carr side.
Okay. So you would view Carr as a big upgrade over Tannehill in this.
Yes, that's the difference maker in that one for me.
All right, got it. I think it's almost entirely how you view Tannehill. That's how you think about that deal. Entirely how you view Tannehill. All right, we got a minute left. Watson trades. Here we go. Kyler Murray for Deshaun Watson, Nico Collins, LaVisca Chenault, and 211.
Kyler Murray.
Okay. I kind of view this one as Kyler Murray versus Deshaun Watson.
So, pretty much.
Yeah. All right, Matt Ryan, Khalil Herbert, and 102 for Watson and 305.
Watson.
Yeah, I'd run over my one-year-old to get to the computer to smash that one.
100%.
All right. Tua, by the way, I can't tell you, I did multiple trades for 108 and 109 last year in rookie drafts for Watson. And it was like, they were both would have been Mac Jones. And I'm like, I'm so happy today that I did that. That's not an endorsement of him off the field. All right. Last one, 15 seconds. Tua, Elijah Mitchell, Terrace Marshall for Watson, McKinnon, and 302.
Probably Watson. Watson, yeah. Over Tua. Elijah Mitchell, I think, is nice in the short term, but you can't really trust it forever. And I'm out on Terrace Marshall.
Smash it. All right. 30 minutes. Anthony, thanks for joining us. Until next time.
Thanks for having me.
Continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.